Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Rita Hauck Lane, your host for the next hour. And I'm really happy to be here, and I'll explain to you about that in a minute. And also, I hope you'll join me for the next hour. Excuse me, I have a few things to share with you. And yes, the whole show is about deepening our relationship with the Lord and being on that adventure with Him. You know, whenever you join yourself to Jesus Christ, and you really, really mean it, it is an adventure. It is not boring. It is thrilling. It's filled with good things and a lot of peace. No matter where you are and what's going on in your life, He is there. And you have a lot of reason not to be afraid, because He really comforts you. So I just wanted to welcome you anyway. I am a little bit crazy, crazy with joy, crazy with peace, crazy with the Holy Spirit. I spent the weekend at Malvern Retreat House with the Women of Grace group. I've been going to their retreats since the very first one. I think it was in 2001. And except for, I think I missed two out of all these years because she had them in a different location. But I believe I've been to all but two. And I wouldn't miss it for anything. In fact, I told someone when we were checking in yesterday, I said I would go bankrupt before I would skip that retreat. It's that magnificent, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's wonderful. It is Johnette Bankovic-Williams is the head of Women of Grace Ministries, and she is always there, and she's a dynamo, and she has been a real friend to me over the years. Encouraged me when I was down, prayed for things I didn't even know I needed, but she did. And I mean, she's just been fantastic for me. And her daughter Thea, excuse me, works with her, and I just love her. I just love her. You know, she's so good to me and so kind, and you know, I just love her. So anyway, the theme this year was emotional balance in an upside down world. Emotional balance in an upside down world. I want to share a little bit with you, not necessarily about the retreat. I mean, you know, it starts on Friday afternoon and ends on Sunday midday, so there's a lot packed into it. So I don't really want to try to share that with you today. Maybe in the future I'll share some of it, a couple of things I have on the agenda today. But I want to back up a little bit and just speak briefly. Oh, first I have to pray. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm so excited and so filled with joy from that whole experience that I'm a little scatterbrained. It was hard for me to put together my show today. And because it was just, I'm just so happy and excited about life. And that's what retreats do for you. That's what retreats do for you. But anyway, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your presence with us every day, all day, and especially in the Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Confession. Thank you for a glorious weekend. Thank you for the things that touched my heart and the hearts of the other women there. I pray that this next hour will be filled with your Spirit and light, and that you will richly bless us in this next hour. And I thank you for, in advance, for what you will be doing to glorify yourself and to help us during this next hour. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Retreats. I told you before, it's been a few years, but before I was even Catholic, I found this book at the Christian bookstore, non-Catholic Christian, and it was on retreats. And it was written by a gentleman, I don't remember his name, and I looked for it today to try to bring it with me, but I waited too late to look for it, I couldn't find it. But I still have it because it's one of my favorite books. And in there he talked about how, not being Catholic, he was always curious about retreat ideas. And this was years ago when there really weren't a lot of retreats around for the lay people like you and me. And he wrote a lovely book on going on retreat. He found a religious house that would allow him to come, and the experience was quite profound for him, and he really wrote a lovely book on why we should all go on retreat. And I have tried very hard to go every time I could. Well, I have gone every time I could, but every time something would pop up, because, first of all, I think the Lord offers us those things to draw us out of the world for a little while, to just really be in communion with Him. And He speaks to our hearts when we do that. So, it was, that book started me on a quest of seeking retreat houses before I was even Catholic. And then, of course, when I became Catholic, where I live anyway, there are lots of retreat houses or retreat days or weeks or whatever that you can attend. So I try very hard to go as often as I can, and I never, God willing, miss the Women of Grace retreat at Malvern. It's a very rich experience, and of course, I always try to go to Father Blunt and Kathleen McCarthy's retreats. Sometimes I'm out of town, but if I'm not out of town, I'm going to be there, you know. So, but there's a lot. But the value of a retreat, it gets you out of the noise of life. Even if you're listening to speakers and presentations, or you're praying the rosary, or you're at mass, or whatever you're doing at these retreats, it is time set aside for you and the Lord in community, which there's nothing in the world more beautiful than being in community with other people who love the Lord, who are not fanatics and weirdos like some people think. They're like you and me. They love the Lord. They want more. And they need that rest, and they need that awayness that the retreats offer. It's like you stepped into another magnificent world briefly. And so scripture says a lot about, there's one scripture I love. It always touches my heart. It says, come away, my beloved, come away. That's God speaking to you. That's God speaking to me. And another is, be still and know that I am God. That's one of my favorites, because it's a promise. If you will still yourself, be still, you will know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's a promise from Him. Okay? And then, of course, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. Or in the silence of my heart, God speaks. Silence is essential for hearing the still, small voice of the Lord. There's nothing like it for it. We are so inundated with noise, even nice noise. I love music. I love it. And I would listen to it 24/7 if I could, but I can't. But sometimes you just have to turn off even the good noise that you love. And that's what retreats help you do. All right. Gary Zimek was there speaking about, well, it was emotional balance in an upside down world. And he spoke about anxieties and fears and those sort of things. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But one of the things he said at the very end of his presentation, he said, when you go, you're on fire with the spirit here. You're going to be taking home tools and beauty in your soul that will make you different, stronger, more rested, more in hopeful for the future. But when you go home, the world has not changed, but you have. The world has not changed, but you have. And you go home stronger. You go home with joy. You go home encouraged. You go home with hope. You go home with tools that address this upside down world that we live in. That the tools are both spiritual, but also for every walk of life. So retreats give you that. Even if it's not that same theme, even if it's just a day of prayer, you go home rich. And I'm going to use a quote later, but I'm using it now. We are deeply refreshed and refill our spiritual and psychological gas when we go on retreat. Anne McGlone, who has the show right before me, she has a retreat with Father DeLacy coming up. It's at Malvern. I'm going to be there. It's just a one-day retreat. And almost anyone can do that if they plan in advance for it. It's worth taking a day off from work. It is, and I think it isn't during the week. But anyway, go to Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, PA. Click on the little bars up in the right-hand corner, and then it'll bring up a menu, and it's a retreat calendar, and you click on that, and then you scroll through. You might find other retreats that you really want to go to. There's retreats for men and women and addictions and families and everything under the sun. They have first Saturdays, I think, with St. Carlo Acutis. There's events that happen on first Saturdays. There's first Fridays. It's a magnificently wonderful place filled with the spirit, the Malvern Retreat House. I highly recommend it. And if you can go to Anne's and Father DeLacy's retreat that is coming up, I'll bring more details next week. I tried to quickly look it up, but I couldn't. But I know it's coming because I already told her I'm going to be there. So anyway, one of the things also at Malvern is there is the only, in the United States, I believe, St. Carlo Acutis Shrine. It is beautifully and magnificently done. One of the things that St. Carlo Acutis is known for, he died when he was 15, I think, and he is a saint, and he is almost, but not quite, single-handedly responsible for a huge youth revival in Western Europe, and it's happening also here in the United States. So his main love was the Holy Eucharist. So at this shrine, he started putting together, he was into computers. At 11 years old, he started putting together research on all of the Eucharistic miracles that have happened around the world that are, documented. At 11, he started doing that. He died when he was 15. But he completed it. And that exhibit has traveled around the world. In fact, we brought it to St. Pius about 20 years ago because the Vatican released it to the world to be used in parishes and retreats and various places like that around the world. So we brought it to our parish. I had knew nothing about Carlo Acutis, nothing. He didn't want his name played up in it. So basically, we brought it. It was wonderful. There's a book on Eucharistic miracles of the world. And in the introduction, after I found out about him and how he put together, this kind of an exhibit, I went and looked at my book, and sure enough, in the front of the book, it mentions him. And it was like, wow, it's come full circle. So here he is, this young man, extraordinary, but in many ways, very much like the other kids of the world. And so he is showing these young people, and young adults, not just teens, young adults as well, how easy it can be to fall in love with the Lord. And how important it is to be Catholic and to have confession. He went to confession every week. Every week. And, of course, every day. He was a daily communicant. He went to Mass every day. Even as a little child. His caretaker, babysitter, whatever you want to call her, au pair, was from Poland and deeply Catholic, and she took him to Mass with her, and after a little while, he was telling her, let's go to Mass, let's go to Mass. He was in a hurry to go to Mass. He loved it. So anyway, that shrine, it has a lot of the Eucharistic miracles in it. The information on them. It has a whole room dedicated to him and his life and how he ended up being categorized as a saint, canonized as a saint. And the saints that really helped build him into who he became. There's a whole hallway of that. And there's a Eucharistic Adoration Chapel there that they ask whenever you go into that Adoration Chapel that you pray for the youth of the world. And so, in addition to your own intentions, it's wonderful. Mary B. D'Amico helped bring that shrine to Malvern. She knows and is in contact with his mother, Carlo Acutis' mother, I think her name is Antonia, on a regular basis. She has brought her to Malvern a number of times. And so, Mary B., you can schedule a tour. It's free with Mary B. by calling up you can go online and register for one. There's certain days that it's open to the general public. You can find that online. There are certain days devoted to groups. I had a group there last Wednesday. It was fantastic. Words cannot describe what it meant to us. And I have been through that tour before, but that day, something was really special. So anyway, I wanted to share with you how important it is to take time out to go and enjoy these treasures that we have, that we can do and be present at in our area. There were women there from California, from Ohio, from Texas, from Connecticut, from Florida, and everywhere else in between, as well as we local ladies. So, that's how much it means to people to go to these retreats. So I highly recommend it. Now, one of the things that I wanted to share with you was, Gary Zimek and every single speaker, including Johnette, was talking about the things that can happen in our lives, our spiritual lives, in our association with the church, in the sacraments and stuff like that, and even in our prayer life. that we don't necessarily see something happening, or we're not necessarily feeling or aware of something happening. When we go to adoration, or when we go to Mass and we partake of Holy Eucharist, when we're in the confessional, when we're praying, there's a lot of times that it feels a little dry or like uneventful. All right. And so they encouraged us, like Gary said. He said, you know, when you go home after the retreat, the world hasn't changed, but you have, whether you feel it or not. Okay, and so the whole retreat, it was coming to me and coming to me and coming to me, a phrase that Jesus said. And I want to tell you how it came to me first. I was at the healing retreat in December with Father Blunt and Kathleen McCarthy. And there is, on Saturday nights, there's always a major healing event. There are prayers. There are, the Eucharist is exposed. We have adoration. We have prayers. Father Blunt comes around and blesses each person. It is a very profound evening. And I was there, and I have a certain amount of calling to a healing ministry. Mine has more to do with emotions and spiritual healing. But there is an element of physical healing that the Lord has laid on my heart. So I was over in the corner praying for everyone as they went forward. And all of a sudden, this little voice came to me. And well, you know what that voice is. And it was from the encounter of St. Thomas. After Jesus was raised, St. Thomas wasn't in the upper room with the other disciples for some reason. So he didn't see Jesus when he appeared to the other disciples. And when they told him about it, he said, he wanted to believe, but he had to have proof. Unless I touch the wounds, and unless I see him for myself, I won't believe it. Okay. He wanted to, though. He wanted to. So Jesus came and appeared when he was there again. And Thomas said, "Oh Lord, I believe, my Lord and my God." And Jesus looked at Thomas and he said, "You believe because you see. Blessed are those who believe without seeing." And the second part of that is what came to me in that healing service. Blessed are they who believe without seeing. Blessed are we who believe even though Jesus is hidden in the Holy Eucharist. Blessed are we who believe even though in our prayer life it feels like there's nothing happening. Blessed are those who believe that the Lord is healing us in some way, shape, or form. No matter what we think we need, He is healing us where we need it most. Sometimes we get caught up in the physical and think, "Oh, I need to be healed physically more than anything in the world." And we go to these healing services and healers, bona fide healers, that are not quacks. And when we're not healed physically, we think it has failed. No, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it has not failed. Blessed are they who believe, although they do not see. In your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you are being healed, even though, to some degree or another, even though you do not necessarily see it or feel it initially. Sometimes days later. So anyway, this Women of Grace retreat was constantly speaking of this hiddenness of God and the spiritual realities that are in that hiddenness. It kept coming up, and I kept thinking, this has happened more than just at the healing retreat in December and at this retreat last weekend. Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Blessed are those who believe that in the middle of this crazy world where everything seems out of control, God is still in control, even though I can't see it. You see where I'm coming from? It applies to almost everything in our life. God has hidden graces that He is bestowing on us all the time. And we have to realize and thank Him for them, even though we may not see at the time. Okay, so hold on, I gotta get my paper out. Oh, Johnette mentioned something that Sister Breege McKenna, she has a healing ministry, and she is really working with priests all the time. She was sick recently. I hope that she's fully recovered. But she has a saying, Sister Breege McKenna, look her up. The Eucharist is God's radiation. You don't see it, but the grace is there and is working in and for us. Just like radiation, you don't see it. And there's good radiation and there's bad radiation. But the Eucharist is God's good radiation that you don't see, but the grace is working in us and for us. The same thing applies to confession and prayer time and many other things in our lives. So basically, just because you can't feel it, just because you can't see it, blessed are those who believe, although they cannot see. Jesus' own words, blessed, that means extraordinary grace and blessings come upon those who believe, although they cannot see. And if you have trouble believing, this prayer from in Scripture, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I have to take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Thanks.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
I'm Rita Halk-Lane. Thanks for hanging in there with me. If you've just joined me, I'm the host for the next half hour. The last half hour, I was talking about retreats and time away with the Lord and how God can be hidden. And He is hidden in so many things. In the bread and wine of the Holy Eucharist. In our prayer lives, in confession, in life in general, He is there, but we don't always see Him or hear Him, but He is there. And He said, Jesus said, blessed are they who believe even though they don't see. So just remember that, okay? And if you miss that half hour, you can watch it on Facebook, or you can tune in our website in a couple of weeks and it'll be up. But right now, you know, setting aside time for the Lord kind of goes into what I'd like to share with you next, which is Summer Meditations from Father John Bartunek. They're just wonderful little snippets of things for each season that apply to those seasons in their own special way. Each season has its own purpose. And so he helps us to think outside the box. And this is from his Summer Meditation. So I want to share chapter 6, Playfulness. All right, playfulness. Taking time for important things like on retreat, prayer, time with family. So here we go. Father Bartunek's Summer Meditations on Playfulness. Now, those of you who don't play very much, I would like for you to really listen to this. Don't tune it out. You need to hear this, okay? Most people go on some kind of vacation during the summer months. We need vacations. We need time to rest, to relax, to recover from the demanding physical, mental, and psychological exertions required in this world. But have you ever ended your vacation feeling even more exhausted than when you felt at the beginning? Have you ever arrived to Monday morning after a weekend that's supposed to be restful, more exhausted than you were on Friday afternoon? You probably have. I know I have. Most people have. This is because, at least in part, our culture has forgotten the art of playfulness. Our culture has forgotten the art of playfulness. We no longer remember what healthy relaxation looks like. And I'm adding to this, we feel guilty when we relax, when we rest from the crazies. We feel guilty. God rested on the last day, on the seventh day, to show us that it's essential to our life. So anyway, we no longer remember what healthy relaxation looks like. This is Father Bartunek. Various studies have explored this phenomenon in different contexts. The basic conundrum seems to be that people are more stressed out now than ever before. The increase of tension and anxiety that goes along with this creates physiological bodily health problems, like high cholesterol, sleep disorders, chronic fatigue, as well as psychological health problems, the breakdown of family unity, childhood and adult depression, substance abuse, and inability to find and maintain the proper balance between hard work and healthy relaxation has become a kind of epidemic in our culture. More and more, we tend to be obsessive and extreme, pardon me, both at work and at play, crippling the true inner harmony that allows our souls to grow and flourish. There aren't any quick fixes for this problem, but we also can't ignore it. What he's saying here is because we have not relearned the art of balance of rest and work. We go all in work, we go all in play without the balance that God wants us to have. So we cannot ignore it because it's not good for us. We need to get back to that understanding. So he goes on. Here again, we can learn so much from the rhythms of nature. Think about the long, gentle sunrises and sunsets that mark the summer months. There's no rush to them. Daytime dawns gradually and organically, then fades away with equal elegance. The wisdom of nature is constantly inviting us to greater harmony and balance, if only we could truly slow down enough to hear it. The two best vacations I ever had were right before I started high school and right before I started college. This is Father Bartunek's story. In both cases, because of the academic transition I was going through, I didn't really have any school or sports responsibilities carrying over through the summer, which gave me a sense of freedom. But more than that, what made these vacations so wonderful was the sheer profound playfulness that characterized them. While I was growing up, my dad took an annual vacation to Ontario, Canada. He and an old friend would go on fishing trips, canoeing through a wilderness lake region where both of them had gone to camp as kids. They would drive through the night to get there, park the car, throw the canoe in the water, and leave civilization behind for 10 or 15 days. I always wanted to join my dad on those trips. He would be so excited to go, and when he came back, he'd be so relaxed and happy. I just knew that something special happened in Canada. But I was too small and too young. Then after finishing 8th grade, my dad informed me that I finally qualified, and so I joined the adventure. As we took the long drive north, I could feel the tension begin to drain from my dad. By the time we got to our first campsite, it was almost as if he were a different person. He had a tough life raising 3 kids by himself and was usually anxious and stressed. But in Canada, 1,000 miles from home, and weighty cares and responsibilities, he changed. He smiled almost all the time. He laughed and joked. He listened. He taught me how to chop wood, bait a hook, cast a lure, and he didn't get mad when I messed up. The rest of us would sleep in tents, but my dad would sleep on the open ground or on a dock, even when it was chilly, because he wanted to go to sleep looking at the stars. At times during our trip, I would catch him just standing on the shore of a lake, gazing at the beauty of the virgin forest. Sitting around the campfire, he and his old friend would reminisce, cut each other down good-humoredly, including me, in the conversation. Those were the best vacations I remember, because they truly were vacations. Our English word comes from a Latin word, which means to be unoccupied, vacation, to be unoccupied. My dad would leave behind all his worries and throw himself into nature. He didn't do it all by himself. He shared it with a friend and with his son, and with his son's friend, eventually. On those trips, I discovered that my dad really knew how to play, and that taking a couple of weeks a year to do that profoundly refreshed him and refilled his mental and psychological gas tank. By experiencing that with him, I was given a reference point for the rest of my life about what healthy relaxation really feels like. And I want to interject here. My husband used to be pretty much a workaholic. And there were times when he would lose his joy, you know, and his ability to relax. And we would go to the shore in New Jersey, seashore in New Jersey. And it would take him like 3 days. But he would start doing exactly what Father Bartunek's father did. All of a sudden, he lightened up. He was joking. He was happy. Physically, he was different. It was like he was refreshed, renewed, and just joyful. And it was that being unoccupied. Oh, yeah, we did things, but it was all mostly optional. We could plan it. So Father Bartunek goes on. Looking back on those experiences now, I am filled with gratitude, but also with some regret. On vacation, I got to know my dad in a different way. I discovered the depths of the person he was, but that wonderful person only made occasional experiences when we were home. Appearances when we were home. Most of the time, he was bound by anxiety and tension that more often than not overflowed even into weekends and the holidays. How I wish that we had been able to live a better work-rest balance in the normal rhythms of life, not just on vacation. I wish that the smiles I saw on my dad's face when we would sit around the campfire would have appeared more often when he was wearing his suit and tie. To my mind, here and there lies the wisdom behind the third commandment from God, one that, according to the Judeo-Christian tradition, corresponds with the very laws of nature. This tenth commandment corresponds to the very laws of nature, the existential needs of our human nature. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. And that's in the book of Exodus. You know, it's funny, the world has gotten so far away from its roots in Scripture, even Christians, that some people don't even know the Ten Commandments that God gave us to give us happiness and joy in life, because that's exactly what they are. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. Father Bartunek goes on to say, we usually remember that the Lord's Day requires us to worship. But how often do we remember that the Lord himself has also reminded us to rest from our labors, to set our work aside on a regular basis? And I add here, in order for us not to be enslaved by our work and responsibilities. Okay, and then Father goes on to say, worship and rest share a profound connection. Squirrels and ants never take a day off, and they never worship. They were not created in God's image, and they don't have spiritual souls. When we fail to place our work aside, we don't become more human, but less human. We become more like beasts or like machines. The human soul is made for more than labor. We work in order to live. We don't live in order to work. I'm saying that again. Pardon me. When we fail to place our work aside, we don't become more human, but less. We become more like beasts or like machines. The human soul is made for more than labor. We work in order to live. We don't live in order to work. Though human work does have an intrinsic value and dignity, of course. The joys of interpersonal communion, the spiritual joys of appreciating beauty and simply feeling and glorying in the pleasure of being alive, of being loved, of loving in return. This is the heart of worship and the secret to playfulness. If we can't do that, it is likely our work has become our God. I'm going to repeat that. Our false idol. Pleasure of being alive, of being loved, of serving observing the Sabbath is the heart of love, is the heart of worship and the secret to playfulness. If we can't do that, it's likely our work has become our God. And when that happens, we will end up worshiping nothing but ourselves and whatever is in our world besides God. And so he encourages, let's buck the trend of our culture. Let's abandon obsessive work and obsessive pleasure. Let's relearn the art of living. This summer, let's take a true vacation. A true vacation. It takes work and it takes planning. When you haven't been observing Sunday, or if you're Jewish, Saturday as a day of rest, it takes work to plan that out. But you know, the more you do it, the more joy you have in it. You spend time with family, even if you're watching TV and eating popcorn together. It needs to be together. Watching a football game together. Being outside hiking together. These are the kind of things that are fantastic and reestablish. We have become too busy to love. Isn't that pathetic? Too busy to love. Too busy to connect with our families. And guess what? Our families are falling apart. Our children are depressed. They're on the computer all the time or on their cell phones all the time because they're lonely. They don't even know that. We parents have not, some of us have not shown our children how important they are to us, how important be together as a family, do things together, not just sit around being bored, doing things that are fun together, even if they don't want to try it. I know so many kids today, oh, I wouldn't like that, so I'm not even going to try it. They don't know it, that they don't like it. They're just assuming they won't like it. Show them the joy of doing some of these things that they think they're not going to like. Anyway, so I'm going to read to you scripture. It's from 2 Chronicles. It's one of my favorites. God is speaking to King Solomon. King Solomon has built a temple for the Lord. And this is, you know, this is what the Lord says. If my people upon... Wait a minute. That's not the right one. Oh, I hope I can find it. I'll find it. But anyway, he talks about if you will observe the Sabbath and not do your own thing on the Sabbath, not go your own way, ignoring the Sabbath. If you observe the Sabbath, you and your family, I will bless you, I will heal you, I will have joy in you. I'll find that. But basically, it's all about being in tune with Him, in tune with the people. You might not even love them anymore. You might just tolerate them because you have to. So why not say, Lord, I want to rebuild the relationships in my family because I know it will please you. And you know what? I am confident if we work within your will the way you want us to, it will please me. It will please all of us. We will renew our relationships with you and each other, and it will be a good thing. Okay. When I was on retreat, I went up to two young adult women. One was very expecting. And I asked them, I said, I want to ask you a question, please, if you would permit me. And I want you to answer me with the first thing that comes to your mind. And I had already prayed about it before I approached them. They were obviously sisters, and I later found out the one who was expecting her third baby. The other one was not yet married, but had a deep faith. Anyway, I said to them, you know, amongst your peers and at your age and in your culture, what is the most challenging thing to your spiritual life today? And they both said, our culture in this country. And they went on to talk about how one of them said, there is no opinions. There are no opinions in the world today, in their world. It's either you agree with me or you don't agree with me. I don't want to hear your opinion about anything. And I'm canceling you. I don't want you as my friend. They won't even listen to another opinion, let alone disagree with it. Everything is splintered. Everything is combative. This is not of God, y'all. This is not of God. And I asked him, okay, what do you think is the answer or a way that we can combat that in a good way? How can we bring back unity amongst people and stuff? And they had a puzzled look on their face, but you know what they said? Bring back strong families. Families who love each other, who make time for each other, who are not so caught up in the world, in the busyness of the world, that they don't connect with each other anymore. Real marriages, real love of children as a blessing, worshiping together, being real families, not roommates and stuff in under the same roof. They were passionate about what they were saying. And the one who has children, she says, I would, and I'm telling you, these were young women, I would never allow my child to go to school in a public school. She homeschools and sends them to inexpensive Christian schools because of what they're being indoctrinated with that has nothing to do with their home life. The one who wasn't expecting, she said, the school's job is to teach academics, to do, to prepare the kids' minds and to be able to work, to be able to do a job, to be trained in the way that they should go for work and for intelligence and be able to make informed decisions and opinions. The schools are now, they're not even teaching reading and writing right. They're so obsessed with social issues and indoctrination of all these other things that they're not even teaching academics. And so, of course, that it would be an answer as well. So it was very informative. But I want to close with you. And you know what? We in the Catholic Church must welcome these young people, young couples and single couples, single people, and the teens and all the young people to our parishes for fellowship with one another, to support each other, to have things in common with each other, to have fun together with each other. And I'm telling you, look into Malvern, that's what they're doing. And we at our parish level must start doing this. We must. They are hungry for this. And we can give it to them. And they will flourish. They will flourish because it's the will of God. It is the will of God for us to be together in His name. All right, I want to share with you one other thing that came from the retreat briefly. I have a question for you. How many of us are exhausted and worry because of all the bad news we are fed every day? Every day. What we feed our minds nourishes that in our lives. That bad news, the worrying, the constant negativity that we are seeing not only on the news, but also in movies, TV shows, documentaries, you name it, it's there. No wonder the young people are depressed. What kind of hope is our media giving them? It's pathetic. It is a horrible, horrible thing that is happening to us and to the generations after us. So anyway, Father Hans Chamorro was at the retreat. He was the one you know, observing, you know, oh my gosh, presiding over Mass, leading us in, and teaching us in the homilies, praying for us, helping us with adoration, etc. He said, you know what I recommend for you? He says, turn off the news. He said, turn off the news. And he says, does it change from day to day? And we all said, no, because it doesn't. It's the same old, 24/7, same old, negativity. Very little is brand new. And, you know, it's funny because my husband ran into someone one time who never read the newspaper. This was years ago. And just said, how can you not read the newspaper? And he said, because nothing changes. Human nature is the same. The same problems keep popping up all the time. And so he thought the guy was crazy. But then he went into his basement and he found some old newspapers from like 40 years before. And he pulled one up and he said, the guy was right. Nothing changes. The circumstances might change, but the problems are the same. So Father said, turn the news off. Because watching and listening for long periods of time changes us. It changes how we see things, how we address things. It is filled with bad things. So years ago, we didn't have 24/7 news, 24/7 programming. Our culture was much happier then. You know, basically, the way I do it is I read, I watch the news one time a day, and then I have enough. Then I have lots of time to do other better things, fun things, spiritual things, etc., etc. So I just want to encourage you to do that. I don't have time to finish up what I had planned today, but I hope that what I've given you is helpful. It's helpful. I mean, I have friends who spend way too much time on social media, and they are miserable. If you have an emotional issue or a psychological condition, don't spend so much time in this media world today. Find other things to do, even if you have to get out of the house and go somewhere else. Anyway, I love you. I'm praying for you. Please pray for us. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.